The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's The Weekend Podcast and joining me on my right here, it's Steven. Sorry, you're Peter. Peter. And joining
Yes,
me
hello.
On my right, left, Steve, right in the middle, Steve, is right there, sitting on my lap. Hey, all right. You're all right, lads.
Strong start.
Yeah, good.
Thanks
very
much.
Have we got a new jingle?
Yes, didn't you just hear it?
Yes, I did. It was good.
Yeah. Loved it.
We got a new jingle, your name's the mention, boys.
I like that.
Yeah, who made that?
That was made by, I didn't voice it, but I just put a little bit of an effect on the front and back, and, you know, it says your names, that's all you need to know, isn't it? You know, it was made by a top American production house, the kind of guys that mix all the big radio stations out there, you know? It's a jingle package, got about 30-odd grand, but it's worth it, guys, for you, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks. That's good.
I did not in any way just, you know, shove it together with my stuff at home and self-produce. It was made by a huge production house. Peter, I've got to blame you. I'm looking at IGG at the moment, right?
Right.
And it's up today, about 3 or 4 of Friday, I should say. It's not today.
Yeah.
It's about £5 now. You said you didn't like the look of it. I kept saying, well, you know, and you kept saying you didn't like the look of it. And now it's bouncing. This could be part of our 10% project we had.
Yeah.
Peter.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I didn't say, I just said...
I don't like the look of it. I don't like the look of it.
No, didn't say that. I said, what's the reason it's going to rise 10%?
Well, the reason was because it got hammered by about 50%
due to
regulatory sort of worrisome, which is overcooked and overbooked, and now we've missed out on a big chunk of our 10%.
They also pay. So we could have done 10% this week, couldn't we?
They also pay about I saw it £5.30 odd. I mean, it's down to £4.50 at one point. Plus they pay a nice little divvy. Oh, such a divvy! So we missed out on the divvies. You know, and all that because of you. I didn't like the look of it.
No,
why, Pete? I didn't like the look of it.
Justin, you don't listen to us. That's not the reason. Don't
blame
me.
What's the reason you don't invest, Pete? I don't like the look of it. To be honest,
too many G's in the name.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't like the look of it. Too many G's. GG.
You should have read my blog. I was talking about that actually, and saying how we should have got in.
I didn't know you had a blog, Stephen.
Steven.
Give us the address. Let's publicise it. What is it, Steve? I'll type it now.
When I start writing it, I'll send it over to you.
Okay,
it's a private blog at the moment.
It's a future blog, is it?
Right. Okay.
It's a blog for the future. I love that. Right. Well, listen. What is your website address, anyway, Steve? Give it a bit of publicity. People may actually, you know, be in the market for what you sell. I doubt it. part of it's illegal, isn't it?
It's partly under construction, so we're probably not best to mention it at the moment because it's not really working properly.
And why is that then? What are you putting on there?
Well, I know, it's basics on it, but it's not really to the standards of publicising yet.
Yeah, but some of the stuff you intend to display on there anyway won't be up for a long time because you'll probably be reported to the authorities.
This is true.
Yeah. Okay. Listen then. I'm writing a blog on the weekend. Oh, by the way, I try to chat about Electric Jukebox, which is one of the investments YOLO's made. Now,
yes.
I've got one of these. And when I first had one, right, I wasn't too sure. I was messing around with it, trying to input Christmas songs in and all this stuff. And then I ridiculously discovered that they pretty much do this anyway. If you go to Electric Jukebox on the screen, they create mix lists of all things. Like celebrities are on there with their own mix lists, like Robbie Williams, Alicia Dixon, Stephen Fry, all these people. But also they have Christmas, of course. I should have featured. I went in there, Christmas. There's three different sections of Christmas. There's cheesy, there's classic, there's modern.
And I can't believe no one's come up with that idea before.
Yeah, but do you know what's nice, Steve? It is a different listening experience, music listening experience. I didn't realise this. People on the house over Christmas, you know, unfortunately, and in trying to enjoy the festivities in my house. But what I quite like though is you put it on, and it's almost like years and years ago. This is before our time, pretty much, or before your time, anyway. Before the TVs was around, people used to have a fire. You know, they used to stare at the fire, and they're quite mesmeric, aren't they? Fires. If you look at it, you can end up while whiling away the time. Before you know it, it's, you know, it's the early hours of the morn, and you've had a couple of whiskies too many. But no, you know, they are mesmeric. Just watch them. And then, of course, came the TV, and it's called the Idiot Box, isn't it? Idiot Lantern, or whatever. And people just stare at it. Now, I find myself doing this with Electric Jukebox, and it's quite a nice thing. And quite a few people have asked, can I get that on Sky? And it's, I said, no, I explained to them, so they inquired about it. It's something nice about... So we tried to put a music channel on, but then you keep getting adverts and promos and all this stuff, and it doesn't really add to the atmos, you know? And so if you whack one of these featured lists on, like a Christmas display thing, and play it, they have nice Getty images that work very well with the music, just timelessly, you know, mixes into each other the music, and it's quite nice. It's done very well.
It, wouldn't a better comparison be a jukebox?
It's like an electric jukebox.
That's it. There we go.
That's what they should probably call it. You know, but it's visual.
But no, it sounds good. My initial reaction was like, is it that much better than just having your music TV on or whatever? But yeah, now looking into it and seeing, hearing about it, I feel a bit more confident that I could see there being a market for it. Yes.
When I first used it, I wasn't a fan. It's almost one of the things, you know, it takes a while. And then we put the decorations on the Christmas tree with it. We had Christmas dinner with it on. We had a couple of people come around for drinks or parties.
That'll ruin your TV.
What? Because it's doing the TV. Oh, Steve slipping in a gag there. That's like that's worthy of a Christmas cracker, Steve. That it was a Christmas cracker, that, wasn't it? So I'm just thinking it is a whole new way. I suppose the thing is, it is quite a newish concept, isn't it? And I know people like Steve says, get your Sonos. Just get my mic's got Sonos around the house. And is that what you have, Steve? Is it? Well, I don't know. How do you link that up? What do you do?
Yeah, I bought more over Christmas, actually. Yeah, it's literally Sonos everywhere.
Sounds like a disease, isn't it? Some kind of stuff on the walls, like damp, and I got Sonos everywhere. I had to get Sonos all over the place. I had to get a special detergent to wipe it down. But how do you link it up to your system?
Well, it is the system.
What?
It is the system.
What do you mean it is the system? What do you do?
Well,
what
it's got speakers in it. So it's all self-contained, and you run it from an app on a phone in your phone then.
Yes, but you haven't got that nice... What I'm saying is, what is nice about Electric Jukebox, right, that I found, it's non-intrusive, but you can just stay. You can have a couple of drinks, have a chat with people. It's non-intrusive in the corner, but you find yourself drawn a little bit to it in a non-intrusive way, and just... It's quite mellow. It's nice. The image is nice.
Is there an app on your phone as well that you can use as a remote, or do you have to have that remote?
It's the remote. It's quite a nice little remote, actually. It's quite a nice, feel to it. It's long and slim, but
I see that as an advantage, because if, like with Sonos, anyone with a phone can link to the network and put their music on, and so in a social environment, in a party, wherever, it's quite good fun because everyone can just play different songs off their own phone, their own devices or whatever. So if you had that functionality, it's not a case of everyone has to just grab the remote to control the Electric Jukebox. It would be better if everyone could control it from their
phone. But I've been to a party where someone's got a Sonos linked to their speaker system, and other people hijack the system and put their own songs on, and it becomes a game of my songs are better than your songs.
Yeah.
And that's that.
You've obviously not gone to a party where Sonos rules are in place.
But the thing is, when the people say, what's this? And it takes over the party. It's not meant to be the party. It's the backing for the party, isn't it? The social environment. You don't want people, put that on, or you're all looking through your phone, swipe it up and down.
That's quite handy when you're out of things to say.
I like, that's why you're single, Steve.
saying, Justin, is when you had friends over at Christmas, or friends, people you kind of vaguely know, you just had the remote control in your top pocket of your shirt the whole time, didn't you? I'm picking the music.
I like to hold it in my hand because my model is black and it's about 6 to 9 inches long. Just got a nice feel to it, you know?
I've seen Sheryl Crow with it, actually.
Yeah, she's a big fan.
You say Sheryl Crow.
She's a huge fan of that. There we are. So anyway, listen, I'm writing a blog on the weekend. I bought two new stocks this week, all right?
Right.
I'm not going to reveal what they are, but I'm going to write a blog about them on Sunday early hours, and Monday morning probably comes out. And listen... It's 10 bagger potential. And I know this is one of those things you're ramping, you're selling.
Yeah,
but it's genuinely... Ramping. No, listen. I've got a 10 bagger checklist set up. And anyone can follow it. And I'm going to go through this. First question, and if the answer to is yes to all these questions, you got a Tim Beggar on your hand, you know what I'm saying?
Right, okay, let's go.
Does this company genuinely have the potential to be a Tim Beggar from current market cap? And so you look at that, you can't just say yes, really. You have to, you know, it's one layer, all right? And if you look at, and next question backs this up. Does this company have enough cash to fund it through to the next major milestones? So I'm going to ask the questions now. I just want you two guys to say yes, all right? So I'll start again. I'll cut the bit at the start.
What if the answer is no?
No, just say yes, yeah? Bad game.
We don't even know what stock we're talking about.
You don't. Does this company genuinely have the potential to be a 10-bagger from current market cap?
Yes.
Steve, are you not getting the format?
I don't forget to say yes when I'm not 100% sure.
This is the definition of ramping. We don't even know what stock we're talking about, or we're just agreeing with you.
Okay. I can say maybe.
Does this company have enough cash to fund it through to the next major milestone, in brackets, which will generate more value for the company?
Double yes.
You don't have to say double
maybe
yes.
Maybe again.
Are the assets this company owns both of high quality and quantity?
Yes.
Is there major institutional backing on the share register?
Oh, yes.
There's no O there, okay? Ad libbing now, and that's, to be honest, that's breaking the format, all right?
Sorry.
Do the management have successful track records?
Yep.
Yes, not yep.
So, yes.
God, isn't it amazing? All you have to do is say yes. That's what you're saying. Okay. You can't just do it. Is it under the radar? Radar?
Yes.
Yes, it is. So the company I'm talking about, you know, has all those in place. You know, at the moment, not really going. And this year is a really important year for the company. But I'm going to reveal what that company is on my newsletter. By all means, you can see it at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, or sign up to the newsletter and get it straight to your inbox. And be like Steve, one of the many of a Sunday evening who thinks that I'm just sending an email for a chat.
Mm-hmm.
And then
deletes
it halfway through and realizes, oh, this is just an email to lots of people. This is not a personal
tip. Every week.
This is not a personal tip or recommendation, which I don't give. No. I give information on which to base your research. Do your own research. Nothing on this podcast, as you can hear from the new jingle, is intended as investment advice.
Hmm.
But anyway, I've been seeing a lot of, going back to YOLO, for example, and there's a lot of people criticising it, the electric jukebox, because, they have investments in several different companies, you know, Audioboom, Gfinity, SimpleStream TV player, criticising, but they seem to be selling out. You know, I've seen a lot of places they've been sold out, and you've had to go to the actual website to try and get things, so I think it's a good sign, isn't it? We won't know the revenue figures or the sales figures until the update, of course, but it'd be nice to know that, but I think it's going in the right direction. So what do you want to talk about? Peter, the floor is yours, the open forum. I just got an email from Nicky Piper. You know Nicky Piper, the boxer?
Yes.
And he says,
he wants a fight.
Yeah, and he says, hi all. Oh, he's not emailing me for a chat. It's a round robin thing.
Oh.
Steve, I've been caught in with that again. Happy New Year. He's doing a bicycle race, a 575 kilometer cycle ride. Why is he doing that? He's gone hard times, isn't he? That's a long commute. That. Oh, it's for charity. No, it's not a commute. All right, go on then.
Well, I've had a very slow start to the year on the old stocks. I haven't really looked at anything, so I haven't got much to add to this week's podcast.
Okay, I've got to say I've started healthily this year. I'm back on the treadmill, 20 minutes every night, plus dumbbells, press ups, and pull ups every night. I've done it so far. That's four nights, not three. Four so far. And I also put my phone, I download something from the BBC iPlayer on my phone, then put it on a little holder on my the treadmill in the office I have, and watch something. Last night, I watched Charlotte Church in Cardiff, right, going around the homeless people over Christmas. And she's talking to homeless people. And the only thing I'd think of, right, is, gosh, she looks rough. I mean, she's talking to homeless people who haven't had homes, they're living out rough. And I'm thinking, she looks really rough. Have you seen her recently, Charlotte Church?
No.
She wasn't getting into like the theme of being homeless.
No, she wasn't. She was dressed, you know, as a normal, you know, non-homeless person or a homeowner. You're a homeowner, Steve, aren't you?
Yes.
Nice of you to come out about that. But listen, she was, but she was there, and I was just thinking, she's put on a bit of weight. She kept wearing baggy clothes that you couldn't really see, dark, you know, you couldn't really see. She reminded me just of a middle-aged woman who was like trying to, and they went to this guy who there was music class every week, and they get homeless people in to do some music and stuff. And this guy was a rapper, and he was quite cool. And she was there nodding along and doing a tambourine. And she just looked like a middle-aged woman nodding her head, not really with it, you know? And I thought, that's Charlotte Church, she's just looking rough. And I thought, you know, this is not good, really. When they get a background of homeless people there, and I'm thinking she's the roughest-looking one there, that's not really good on her, is it? I just think she's pretty, you know, I don't know. Check it out. It's on iPlayer. And I just thought, I was surprised. Because I had, you know, I was quite, I found it quite attractive for a while, didn't you, Charlotte Church?
Right. Are you perhaps missing the point of the whole show?
Yeah, I was, because she was so rough. What I'm saying is, put a bit of makeup on, love, or lose a bit of weight.
Right, okay. Is that the priority of the show? Is that what she's thinking about?
I don't know. To be honest, you know, some of the people at homeless looked in better condition. I think maybe she spent some time out on the streets. Eat a bit less. Do a bit more walking.
Yeah, okay.
That's a bit strange. But were you, Steve, were you at Red Dragon when Charlotte Church came in and I had to look after her?
Oh, God.
Were you not?
No, I was at another radio station for that 6-month period. But you did send me the audio when it happened, though.
Yeah, did I?
Yeah, 6-month period. Exactly.
Yeah, you went real, didn't you, Steve?
Okay.
Steve has kept me real for 6 months. Charlotte Church came in and that was when she did her first pop single with Jürgen Vries, I think he was, a dance guy, you know, dance beat. You know, in the background. And it went into the charts. It was a break from being a classic artist, even though she was still singing classically with a drum beat underneath, pretty much.
I quite like that song.
Yeah, it was all right. You recognise it from that. But anyway, she came in and she was doing an ISDN interview through, you know, radio stations all up and down the country. And I had to look after her, you know, just connect her up to these people across the thing. And by interview 15, we were getting really bored, you know, asking the same questions from these local jocks across the country, you know, and what's it like, Charlotte, going into the pop charts and, you know, classical, making transformation. And in the end, we call up this guy in, I think Trent, was it? I think Trent FM or something like that, or Signal 1 in Trent, Signal 1.
Signal 1.
Yeah, Signal 1 in Trent. And the guy said, Russ, his name is Russ Morris, was the guy who was doing the drive time show. He said, "Hi, Charlotte." And hello. And we said to her, I said, "Charlotte, off here." I said, "We pretend that I'm Jürgen Vries from, you know, a Scandinavian DJ, and I'm with you." She said, "Yeah, go on then, because we're both bored." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Oh, I've also got Jürgen here." Oh, and Russ said, "Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, hello, Jürgen. Hello, how are you?" And he said, "I'm good, thanks." It's yes. And then Russ, you know, said a couple of things. And he said, "So what do you think of British ladies?" I said, "Oh, I think they're quite nice. You know, I like the way they do wet t-shirt competitions."
Your Boris impression.
Yeah, very sexy. I've been in wet t-shirts. I love those competitions you do and all this stuff. And he said, "Well, thanks very much." And so obviously they aired that interview on Signal 100. And we had to apologise. And apologise really? To him in the station, yeah, because obviously it wasn't Jürgen Vries, or whatever his name is, because they put a bit of a fake interview. And then 2 weeks later, David, the head of the station, said, "Oh," I've called Di as a thing, "Di, meet Russ in Red Dragon, this is in Cardiff." I said, "What?" "This is Russ Morris, he's our new sign-up." "This is the guy that I pulled a fast one on." And they just signed him. It's quite embarrassing first 5 minutes. He said, "No, sorry, I suppose it's quite funny." And you know, and he still hates me to this day. Is it that? You know, it is. I can tell, you know, every now and again on social media, I think there's really take to me. I met him in Birmingham, you know, and there's that little, you know, niggling sort of thing. You had me over there on my radio station, made me look a fool, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my Charlotte Church anecdote, anyway. But
that's quite an anecdote.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah, anyway, so anything else? Back to stocks?
Oh, stocks, right, sorry.
Steve, what's your thoughts? What are your thoughts? I tell you, did you see that we can't not talk about EVR Holdings?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that, yes. Steve?
Yes.
It's like nearly a 10-bagger.
Yeah.
I'm devastated.
Have you seen the share price of Steve? Have you seen it rise?
Well, I saw it the other week and it was going up, and I presume it's just gone up more, yeah. So
it's come back a bit.
Yeah, it's come back a bit. Yeah.
I can't believe we were sitting when I sold and it was at 1.8 and we were like, oh, it's too late to get in now, too late to get in now. 1.8, Jesus.
I told you both. I bought some at 0.9. I told you both. I said, I'm buying some more at 1.8. I told you both that.
Yeah.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
I said, I'm telling you both. It's a hot sector. Who knows where it's going to go? And you just sat there.
The problem is, me and Pete blew our load on the last one you recommended to get.
Easy. Oh, yes.
You have to learn. See,
snooze box.
I've got to say, I'm becoming a lot here. I'm becoming a lot more now disciplined over stocks. I see, you know, whereas a year back, I'd see a lot of people, you know, ramping a stock on Twitter, and I'd say, ooh, just get in, stick a little punt on that. And now I don't bother doing that, you know, because I think, no, does it fit my filter, my criteria? Does it work? Is it in my strategy? It's not. It's not. So what I'm saying now, guys, is the stocks I talked to you about, it's worth paying attention to. I think my okay. I think my hit rate is a lot better now.
Yes, you know? I agree.
Just when I've lost all my money, great.
Yes, yeah, just as you've run out of funds.
Now, guys.
So now guys, yeah. So sell the stuff you. So what's? I mean, yeah. But Steve, you know, Providence Resources is rising slowly.
Yeah, that's going good.
Massive asset base, huge. Ginormous asset base, honestly. It's like of a major, you know. They got there in the Irish Sea. And like I said, they've had a bit of legacy issues there of a debt, but that's cleared it now. They've got the money to do their own Druid and Drombeg sort of drilling there in the spring. So it'll get towards the ramp there, the ramping up. I mean, not ramping, but I mean, you know, the spud. The share price always ramps up towards the spud. And if they get a farming partner there as well, it'll go nuts, it should do. And then if they get a farming partner for Barry Row, which is another huge asset along the line there. They've got about 9 assets in the Irish Sea, massive amount. And this is before any of the majors took them seriously. But then they realise the continental shelf there in Canada, very similar geology where some of the majors spent $1 trillion in exploration there, and it's paid off for them. They realise the same kind of geology exists in the Irish Sea. So now all the majors are now paying attention to the Irish Sea, where, you know, on the quiet, Providence Resources were snapping up assets before anyone was paying attention. So, yeah, they're sitting on a veritable or, you know, potential oil mine, gold mine, mine of oil.
Mine, yeah. Well?
Any other stocks worth looking at? Anything else happening this week? Let's have a look. Boys, anything? Help me out here, yeah? Yeah? No?
Well,
All right,
yeah,
good night. Thank you. All right, go on.
Bye. I sort of feel like I'm keeping my powder dry at the moment. I haven't bought any stocks for a while. Kind of just looking, waiting. I don't know what I'm waiting for, but EVRH would have been a good one.
But I've said that. I said it with Anthony on the podcast. I said you've risen by over 100% in the last couple of weeks, you know? And I say to anyone, you know, I did this thing on Audio Boom on Vox Markets. I posted a post there, but the hype cycle again. We mentioned this before. And I said, what happens is, I'm not going to say it could happen with EVRH, but it's a tech company, and you get this hype cycle where they come on, everything's very hot, you know, now, and ooh, there's a future. And the share price just zooms up like crazy, you know? And then comes the reality of revenue recognition. At some point on the line, of course, EVRH has to get some revenue, you know? I mean, they could be snapped up by that's one option. They could be snapped up, like I said, by a major like Facebook or something like that, or one of these big companies, you know, for a multiple of their market cap as it is. That could very well happen. But, you know, it's a possibility, you know, but you wouldn't put all your money on that, would you?
No.
So the other option is they have to start generating revenue. I don't know how far it is down the line. They're launching their beta app. And, you know, so the beta app, I don't know how long that takes to develop. You know, how long... So when will it actually start monetizing the app? You know, so that's a long way off. And this happens with a lot of tech companies. And, you know, look, take CloudTag, for example. You know, as yet, they still haven't got a commercial product on the shelves. Now, that share price rocketed up to over 20-odd, 23 pence, whatever it was. And it's coming back now because people start saying, when are they going to get this on the shelves? When are they going to start selling this? You know? And even then, you know... Are they going to sell a lot enough to justify the market cap? So you've got this, you know, this hype cycle that comes down. Now, Audioboom have gone through that. They're now at the point where, like I said, a lot of tech companies don't even last a hype cycle. They get, you know, blown up or taken apart and realize that the tech isn't really, you know, there's not that demand for the tech before they actually get the revenue part. But audio boom has gone through that hype cycle. They've gone through the big boom. They went from 3 pence to 18 pence within 2 or 3 months. They came down as, you know, as people said, oh, they start monetizing this now. They, you know, release updates with very little revenue, if any, at the start. And then now the revenue is starting to build up. And you've seen they're coming towards the end of that hype cycle where you've had stale bulls selling, and into every rally, you know, you've had a buyer that's been holding at a higher price, just trying to get out at a decent loss, you know, at a half-decent loss. And so, yeah, you know, downward pressure constantly from people selling. But it gets to the stage now where new buyers are starting to come in to see the fundamentals improve. And then, you know, so you'll start to see stale bulls selling, new buyers coming in. And when that battle is won by the new bulls, realizing the story is starting to change, the share price will start ramping up again. And this time, this rise is sustainable because it's backed by fundamentals, you know, revenue, where it wasn't before, it was backed by hype and hope. So that's what I'm saying. You know, the first hype and hope of the stock, because they're crazy. And I say, but you know, I'm not saying it'll happen with EVRH, but what I'm saying is the hype and hope there has pushed this, you know, a 10 bagger within a couple of months. And so all I say to people is be careful when investing. There is massive potential in EVRH, of course it is. But, you know, you can buy any company at the wrong price. You can buy a rubbish company at a good price and make a profit. You can buy a good company at a bad price, you know. So you just got to be aware. It's lots of different combinations of dynamics, isn't it, in share buying. It's not just by looking at the company and thinking, it's a good company, I'll buy. You know, when do you buy? When's the best time to buy? That's what you've got to look at as well. So who's to say now? I could be saying this, you know, I could have de-risked in EVRH, which I have a bit, and tomorrow Facebook could buy it for $5 billion or something like that, or something ridiculous, you know? So that could happen. The potential is there, the possibility is there. But you never know, but you wouldn't put all your money in that eggs in that basket and say, that's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. I've chatted to Mark. Not Mark Zuckerberg, Mark my mate. He's into VR and all that. He looks at adult films online, and he reckons it's going to be massive. But, you know, you can't... Who knows where the future is? Hey, who knows? Steve, you're a bit of a tech geek. Do you think VR will be big?
Yes.
There we are. Chuck all your money in EVRH, quick!
Yes.
But it's almost like, you know, you buy on dips, you know, and I mean sustained dips, because, you know, if it's a good company, they'll exceed where they are right now. But I mean, you know, you will have dips, because when you get people like this making lots of money from it, you know, people are going to cash in a bit, aren't they? Otherwise, it'd be insane not to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But at a market cap of 70 million now, without any revenue, yes, there's always the potential, if it is that good, that they'll get swallowed up by someone. But that's kind of a big high price, isn't it? A big market cap for some company that's not even actually generating revenue as we speak.
Yeah, well, you know, Anthony reckons he's undervalued, and I can see where he's coming from. He said there are companies, you know, he compared a couple of other companies, $1 billion valuations, making huge losses, you know, making huge losses. And I can see where he's coming from. Yeah, of course, maybe it is. Because it's hard, like I did say, it's impossible to value a company that's based on future tech with traditional valuation metrics at the early stages, you know, because you don't know what's going to happen. But then when they
it's also down to competition, isn't it? So it's kind of like, I don't know enough. I don't know anything really about this, so I shouldn't really be talking about it. But I don't know what...
No, I encourage you. I think
it doesn't stop you normally.
The less you know, the more you should talk about it. Hopefully, you'll stumble across a decent point sooner or later.
How many other EVRHs are there, sort of developing?
There's none.
No, at the moment, but
there's no other EVRHs. Only one.
Right, similar companies or companies or companies that exist now but will diversify into this field, whatever. Competition, that's my point.
Yeah, what I like about EVRH, though, you know, as I say, they have that moat of protection there because they've got deals with record labels, you know, major record labels.
For advantage or whatever, yeah.
But you can't just, like I said, you know, I've worked at radio stations and record labels are very protective of their artist content, and you can't just turn up at a festival and start filming, you know, a Michael Jackson.
That would be weird.
That would be odd. No, you can't just do it in a festival and start filming Coldplay, you know, and say, "Oh, what's his name, Chris? I've got this new VR kit. Me and the lads there are trying it out. Do you mind if we knock up a VR video for you? That's not going to happen. You know, you've got to be in talks with a label way beforehand, and you've got to be, if you're on stage, not be intrusive in any way. There's lots of things. They're very protective. They're more protective than royalty. So whenever we've done interviews with, you know, sort of big artists at Capitol, the label and the PR people were worse than the artists. They're more protective over the artists, and the artists would do something, want to do something, and the PR people and the label wouldn't allow them to do it. You think, what's going on here? So, you know, it's impossible. They are guarded like royalty. So, you know, you've got to have those contracts. And, you know, like I said, an EVRH has got their foot in the door there with a massive one of the big three. So, yeah, I mean, you know, fantastic company. But again, this and the share price, what I'm saying is hot at the moment. You know, and be careful. That's in no way reflects the quality of the company. The company is in a top quality. What I'm saying is the share price has rallied like crazy. Anyway, on that note.
yes, it's a big note.
Yeah, all right. All right. So anything else you want to chat about?
Nothing springing to mind.
I tell you what I want to do. Peter, next week I'll give you a bit of homework, right?
Uh-oh.
No, two of you. Don't confer. I want to know.
I'll call you later, Pete.
I want to know. Wait until I've hung up, play chat. I want to know what net present value means. Okay, so when a company says they've done a feasibility study somewhere like AsiaMet or somewhere like that, and the net present value of that project is, you know, 209 million something like that, with 8 or 10 there's conversions of that discounted by 8 to 10. I want to know exactly what that means, all right? That's for everyone on the podcast as well. So
net presence value.
Yeah, it doesn't mean what the market cap is of the company or should be. It's the net present value of that project, all right? So I want to know that.
It's not the value of your presence.
No, it's not.
All right, okay.
Because I tell you what, a bit of a tip. I was going to say presence, ridiculous. Every year I have an argument on Christmas Eve about the amount of presents the missus has bought for the kids. She says to me, do you think you've brought enough? I'm there in half an hour bringing them down from the attic, thinking, have you bought enough? Who's this for? The whole street. It's nuts. But a couple of tips, three tips, right? If you're into apps and stuff and games, which the kids are now, they love them. I would recommend, I started off with Angry Bird
Tinder.
Pop. Angry Bird Pop. Right? Not Angry Bird, Angry Bird Pop. Cracking one, that is. But they let you go a certain way, don't they? I've been doing very well. I'm on level like 127 or something. And they made it impossible for me to complete this level without having to buy something. I'm not buying anything. So I moved on now to Hot Wheels. Get Hot Wheels. You will love it. It is cracking. That's another recommendation. Hot Wheels. Rolling Sky is all right. It's not too bad. But, so Hot Wheels and Angry Bird Pop. Two crackers.
I wouldn't put you into a gaming kind of app person.
No, I just love it. My mother, she is like my mother. My missus is getting annoyed at me. Put it down, what are you doing? So I never thought I'd marry an idiot who's into gaming. I said, I'm not into gaming. I'm not a gamer. Stop talking about a gamer. I'm married. Crossy Road is a good one as well. No, it's Flappy Bird. They've done a version of Crossy Road. It's quite good.
Are you making this up?
No. So it's a Crossy Road. If you're into motors and all that, the graphics on Hot Wheels are fantastic. Just download the app, Hot Wheels. There's three tips to Hot Wheels, Angry Bird Pop. Just start with those two, yeah? That's a tip for this week. All right, but homework for next week. Net present value, please, fellas. All right.
No problem.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.